From John's Gospel, in chapter 2, the bulletin says today that we begin with verse 13, but you know, I'm going to back up one verse, as Pat Hopper did in our Bible study this past week, and I'm going to start with verse 12. After this, Jesus went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they remained there a few days. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for what you are doing?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years. And will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. We are pleased today to be a family of five. I almost said our four. Actually, let's see. 2, 4, 6, 7 if you count mom and dad, and they count, right? We have Chess here with us, a friend, but most we like Chess a lot. But most importantly, we're proud to have Noah home with us. He surprised his mama last night when we were at a baseball game. And here's the way it works, Dad. Some of you can feel my pain. He sent me a text message and let me know that he was coming to the game. But he said, "Don't tell Mom. I want to surprise her." Well, why didn't I get the surprise? Why does Mama always get the surprise? What's that about? Guys, can you feel my pain? There's something about a mama's love. Is that an amen? I think it is. There is something about a mama's love. And I guess you would say even love a child has for their mother. After Manya found out her oldest baby boy, as my daddy likes to say, her oldest baby boy was coming home last night, she went and talked to our head baseball coach's father-in-law, Mr. Leatherwood. He's a pastor as well. She was telling Mr. Leatherwood and his wife that her son was here to see her. And this 65-year-old man probably got a tear in his eye. And it ran all the way down his face. And he said, "You never stop loving your mama." Wow, there's something powerful and emotional in the love that a mother has and expresses for her children. I really believe it's the closest glimpse of heaven we have in this broken world. I certainly know my wife doesn't love me the way she loves those boys. They do no wrong. It is holy. And it is of God. in our scripture today. We hear this reading, this familiar text to many of us, where Jesus goes into the marketplace, turns over the tables. This passage that's traditionally recorded in the other Gospels as a Holy Week scripture. Or in other words, as the other Gospels record it, it's the last week of Jesus' earthly ministry before his crucifixion. But John, the beloved disciple and intimate friend of Jesus, records it differently. John, in his writing, has this experience of Jesus turning over the tables at the Passover very early in his ministry, 3 years before Holy Week, or the Passion of our Christ. Not only that, John has it 3 years before, but he also has it very early in Jesus' ministry. As you look through the Gospel of John, there's 3 major events that come forward. John the Baptist's ministry, the proclamation that Jesus is the Lamb of God when he calls his first disciples, and then this. In chapter 2 of John, his very first miracle was Jesus turning the water into wine in Cana and doing what his mama told him. That was the gist of that scripture, right? Many of us that are familiar with that passage, we know where they were at the feast. And Mary said to Jesus, "They have no wine." And he says, "What do you want me to do? My time has not come." And then she says to those around, "Do whatever he tells you." Jesus got the point. Mom was trying to save face for those who'd hosted the event. She was being loving to those around her, and she entrusted her son to fix the problem. It wasn't, it seems, the miracle that Jesus would have chosen, but it was the miracle that was called on him by his mother to share with those around. There's something about a mother's love, an impact upon us. When they love us. No, all of us haven't been mothers, but all of us indeed have had a mother. And you noticed as I read our scripture today, I backed it up a verse, Jimmy Hopper, as I said that Pat did in her reading. Because John, even once more, going into this journey of the Passover, said that Jesus went down from Capernaum with his mother and his disciples and his brothers. Mother was central in the life and ministry of Jesus. You see, I set this stage to share this with you because our Lord, Jesus of Nazareth, who became Jesus the Christ, was also defined by John as love. And it says to me, this passage, that where did Jesus learn how to love? He learned it from his mother on this earthly world. It was the nurturing of Mary, the intimacy, the wisdom that she poured into Jesus, that he was inspired to pour it into the world around him. It was no accident that God chose this virgin child, Mary, to be the mother of our Savior. So it's with these emotions, this affection, church, for family, that Jesus makes his first journey to Passover after he's been commissioned at his baptism as God's beloved son. So we see the background. We see the family emotion. We see Jesus' appreciation for family. And he goes into the marketplace of his father's house and he sees it being made a mockery. The one who knew how central parental love was to his life, and he saw his father's house being abused. And he becomes angry. He had zeal for the house of his father. That's what our scripture says. That's what inspired the anger and the passion of our Lord today, was the love he had for family. Friends, I find that comforting. To know that our God gets it. That our God spoke to us that the greatest example of love we have is in that of the parent. And Jesus takes action when he sees that love abused. But you know what else I find in this passage today? Is not only did our Lord Jesus Christ have a love for his mother and a love for his father, but he also had a love for someone else. I think that fueled his anger too, Barbara. It was his love for someone else that brought forth his passion in turning over the tables to go along with the love for his father and his mother. Who was that someone? To tell that answer, I am reminded of a story told by Fred Craddock, one of my favorite preachers. Taught for years at our Columbia Seminary in Atlanta. Grew up in Humboldt, Tennessee. The son of a poor dirt farmer. Craddock is one of the great storytellers and theologians who's already gone to glory, along with the great Billy Graham that we celebrated recently. Craddock shared a story about his very first pastorate. He said, I was in this little church in a community that was shriveling up in Tennessee. And along about that time, a new industry came into the community. And there were all these construction workers that moved in near our church. Seemed like every hill and hollow had a travel trailer. And dirty laundry hung out on the lines. All kind of dirty laundry. And he said, I gathered my church leaders after worship one day, and I said, you know, we need to reach out to these people. They're here, and we need to minister to them. One of the leaders said, oh, I don't know. I don't think they'd fit in. They're only going to be here a short time, and we've got our own little church we need to take care of. I just don't really think they would fit in. He said the meeting went on kind of long and it got a little uncomfortable and they decided they'd pick it up the next week. So they gathered again after worship the next week, and as soon as the meeting began, one of the wise patriarchs of the church made a motion that we should accept no members in this congregation that do not own property in the county. Someone quickly seconded it. Craddock said there was a vote. Everyone voted in favor of the motion except me. And he said, then they reminded me I didn't have a vote. Craddock said years later, after he'd shared in his seminary career. He went back to that old country church. He said it was still there. He and his wife, Nettie, took a while to find it. The interstate had ran by there then. They had to take a few side turns and back roads, but they found it nestled back in the woods, just like it always been, except now the parking lot was full of cars. And there was this huge sign out front of the church saying, "Barbecue, all you can eat, come on in." Craddock said, "Well, we went in and had some barbecue." He said the pews had now been pushed along the sides of the sanctuary. The organ was over in the corner. And he said there was all kind of people there, Benton, construction types, truck driver types, some folks with tattoos, long hair, all different kind of people. Craddock said, "I looked at Nettie and said, you know, it's a good thing this is no longer a church, because these people wouldn't be welcomed here." There was a someone else in our scripture today that inspired anger from our Lord when he saw a mockery being made of the place of worship. Who was that someone? That someone was you. That someone was me. Because the money changers and the cattle were gathered in the only place, church, that the Gentiles could worship, in the outer courts. Jesus came and he said, "This is my Father's house, and everyone is welcome." In our Bible study last week, Ann Wigington told me a story about a mother hen. She said, "Have y'all ever seen a mother hen in action when it's storming?" She shared how her father would say to the children when a storm was coming, "Y'all get those chickens in." And she said, if we were ever late and the rain started before we got them gathered up, the mother hen would do this, church. She would stop right where she was in the midst of the storm. And she'd fluff out her wings for the chicks to gather around. And she would embrace them in the shelter of her love, taking the storm upon herself so that they could be sacrificed the peril. I don't think it's a coincidence that in Matthew's version of this text, he tells it at Holy Week. And after Jesus turned over the tables, this is what he said: "Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how I would love to gather you like chicks under my wings with the love of a mother hen." So friends, as much as Jesus loved his mother, he loved us just the same. And he allowed his mother, church, that he loved so passionately, to go through the grief of his death so that we all could have life in him, an eternal home in his Father's house. Amen.